Grammar rules are like speed limits on a winding mountain road. They exist for good reason, but sometimes you need to accelerate through a curve to feel the true joy of driving. Benjamin Dreyer, Random House's copy chief for over 30 years, has crafted a style guide that manages to be both authoritative and wickedly funny. English evolved anarchically, absorbing vocabulary with each foreigner who set foot on British soil, to say nothing of American mischief. It has no enforceable laws, much less someone to enforce the laws it doesn't have. This anarchic evolution is precisely what makes our language both frustrating and beautiful. Remember those grade school grammar rules? Many are nonsense. Starting sentences with and or but, great writers do it constantly, though over-reliance can make writing lazy. The ban on splitting infinitives is equally bogus. To boldly go sounds far better than the awkward alternatives. And ending sentences with prepositions? Consider Churchill's alleged response about pedantry up with which I will not put. Other non-rules worth ignoring, avoiding contractions in formal writing, creates robotic prose, blanket avoidance of passive voice, which has legitimate uses, and the prohibition against sentence fragments. Dickens's Bleak House opens with brilliant fragments describing London's fog. Dreyer hates grammar jargon, not grammar itself. As a copy editor, he understood grammar intuitively before learning terminology. For writers, correct usage trumps knowing technical terms. Whom isn't dead? Think of who as cousin to subject pronouns, I, he, she, and whom as cousin to object pronouns, me, him, her. Use whom when someone is being acted upon. The singular they is now mainstream, not controversial. The prohibition was a Victorian invention we should abandon. Beyond grammar, using someone's preferred pronouns is simply basic human respect. If words are the flesh and bone of prose, punctuation is the breath. It signals to readers how your writing should sound. A comma feels different than a semicolon. Parentheses make a different noise than dashes. The series comma, Oxford comma, separates the last two items in a list before the conjunction. Always use it. Consider the book dedication. To my parents, Ayn Rand and God. Without the comma after Rand, the writer appears to claim divine parentage. Semicolons connect related independent clauses. Dreyer defends them against accusations of being show-offy, citing Lewis Thomas on their elegance in T.S. Eliot's poetry and Shirley Jackson's masterful use in The Haunting of Hill House, where they create tightly woven connections between ideas. For apostrophes, Dreyer warns, do not ever attempt to use an apostrophe to pluralize a word. For possessives ending in S, modern style favors adding S, Charles Dickens's novels. Parallelism requires matching grammatical structures, not as real or realer than Des Moines, but as real as or realer than Des Moines. Properly parallel constructions have a bracing attractiveness. He was not beholden to, responsible for, or in any other way interested in the rule of law. Generally, write out numbers from 1 through 100 and easily express numbers beyond, 200, 1800, but use numerals for complex numbers, 250, 1823. When one number in a paragraph requires numerals, all related numbers should also use numerals for consistency, not 75 acres, 12 cows, and 126 chickens, but 75 acres, 12 cows, and 126 chickens. In dialogue, spell out numbers as they would be spoken, 16 apples rather than 16 apples. However, addresses, 142 Maple Street, years, 1999, and phone numbers remain as numerals even in speech. For time expressions, use 5 a.m. or 4:32 p.m. and avoid redundancies like 6 a.m. in the morning. Date formatting in U.S. style places commas on both sides of the year, November 6, 1988, in Scottsdale. When referring to decades, either spell them out, the 1980s, or use numerals, the 1980s, but avoid apostrophes. The 1980s is incorrect. Good writing transcends mere correctness, especially in fiction where a writer's voice is paramount. However, claiming "it's just my voice" doesn't excuse logical inconsistencies. Fiction requires internal logic and consistency, even while being fictional. Characters must age consistently with the calendar and with each other. Someone born in May 1960 must be 25 in May 1985. Physical characteristics like height, eye color, and handedness need to remain consistent. Stage management matters too. Watch for characters who go upstairs only to step directly onto the driveway. Real-world details must be honored. Readers will notice errors. If setting a story on September 24, 1865, verify it was indeed a Sunday. Travel times must be realistic. I once edited a novel where a journey that would take 10 hours was completed in 3. For historical accuracy, check when words came into use. Hangover didn't appear until 1894. Before that, people had a Katzenjammer. Keep dialogue natural by avoiding semicolons and characters constantly addressing each other by name. Limit overused actions like murmuring, whispering hoarsely, and pushing up glasses. Use italics for emphasis sparingly and go extremely light on exclamation points. Spell check can't save you when you use the wrong word that's still a legitimate word. Effect is usually a verb meaning to influence. Effect is usually a noun meaning result. You can affect someone's mood, which may have the effect of changing their behavior. Discreet people show discretion. Discreet things are separate. Farther is for physical distance. Further is for figurative distance or degree. To flaunt is to show off. To flout is to defy rules. The lay-lie distinction trips up even professional writers. Lay is transitive. It needs an object. I lay a book down. Chickens lay eggs. Lie is intransitive. I lie down, period. The trouble comes with conjugation. Lay becomes laying, laid, laid, while lie becomes lying, lay, lain. That the past tense of lie is lay is maddening, but with practice, you'll get it. Language refuses to be permanently fixed. What was grammatically incorrect centuries ago might be standard usage today, with supposedly ironclad rules proving more flexible than unchangeable. Good writing emerges from understanding this fluidity while maintaining precision. It's about making conscious choices that serve your purpose and respect your readers, selecting amble instead of walk to convey a specific pace, or breaking a grammatical rule for greater impact. The best writers approach their craft with both humility and confidence. They know clarity doesn't mean blandness, as personality can shine through even technical writing. They understand precision doesn't require pedantry. Sometimes a conversational tone works better than formal correctness. Good writing is simply good thinking made visible. It's the bridge between minds and the tool by which we make sense of our world. Every carefully chosen word and thoughtfully constructed sentence shows respect for your readers, the language, and your ideas. Master the rules thoroughly enough that breaking them becomes an artistic choice, and your words will sing with deserved clarity and precision.